Once again, broadcasting live from an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, it's time for The Long Shot, featuring comedians Amber Kenney, Eddie Pepitone, and Jamie Flam. Tonight on The Long Shot, Palm Springs, O. Henry, Chat Roulette, Spike TV, Angels in America, and as usual, a morass of chaos and despair. And now, please welcome the host of The Long Shot, Sean Conroy.
Thank you so much. Welcome to The Long Shot. Once again, we're back this week with our usual cast of characters. Across the table from me is Mr. Ed Pepitone.
Hey, everybody. Here we go.
To my right, once again, Amber Kenney.
Hello.
And of course, to my left, the great Jamie Flam.
Oh, of course. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Well,
for
you're had every week. Yeah,
right. Yes. But every week it's better.
You're
than
welcome.
Last.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, so we wanted to start off talking about a couple of things. First of all, Amber, you had an exciting weekend.
I had a lovely weekend. My friend runs a hotel in Palm Springs. He had me come out, and I got to pretend. I got to live a lifestyle that I do not get to live normally.
This sounds like the setup for a romantic comedy.
Were you with your boyfriend?
I was.
Okay.
Well, there goes that idea.
There goes that
Sorry.
Idea.
Boring.
But it was the three of us the whole weekend, and we had a good time. The town shuts down pretty early, I'm going to say. We got out there Friday night, like 10 o'clock, couldn't find a place that would serve food.
Mm. I hate that, by the way.
That's true all over the country, basically.
What are you talking about?
That places shut down that early, everywhere you go. Except I mean, you know that. You've been on the road. We've been on the road together for a long time. We know.
You know what, though? That's one of those facts that I don't want to believe. Like, when I get
to a
town.
You forget it every time.
Well, it's because I get hungry late at night. You know what I mean? Like, I want some action. And when I see things.
That's why you've eaten over 8,000 bags of Cheez-Its from a motel vending machine in your life.
But go ahead, Amber.
But it was a great weekend, swimming, biking. It's made this week actually harder because I come back and I'm like, oh, I have even less money. I still have to go to my, like.
What kind of bike? What kind of bike?
I don't know, like cruisers. I don't know anything about bikes, but it was so nice. And
Cruisers was a good movie with Al Pacino.
That was Cruisine.
I missed that one.
You missed something really good and controversial at the time.
Very homosexual.
Mm. Which Palm Springs, by
right.
the way. Well, anyway.
Brings it back around. Very homosexual. But my friend has this thing that he's into now where he sets the timer on the camera and then everyone jumps. So he wants to get a midair shot. It's more fun.
It's
than
a good
it
way to waste a lot of time.
It is.
Did you get any good midair shots?
Yeah, there were some good ones. The funny thing is people would try to interrupt and say, hey, we could take your picture. And we're like, no, that's not what we're doing.
No. We're a very specialized group of people.
But couldn't you just jump when they were taking your picture?
But that's not the game. Because we like the flashy of the timer.
Oh, I see.
That
all right,
was my
well,
weekend.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Palm Springs. How far is Palm Springs?
Like 2 hours.
So it's not that
solid
far.
Solid 2 hours.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to spend the weekend. Eddie.
Yes, well, today I read a short story in front of 350 students at UCLA.
Now, let me just jump in right away and say that when we discussed this before the show, you said it was in front of 400 students. So
you know what?
I feel like it could keep going down so that the reality was there were two people who were like, please, sir, just leave us alone.
And it was outside of UCLA.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing that whenever I kind of embellish like an old
It's an American tradition, the tall tale.
Yeah, I'm like an old sea captain. Like if I'm talking about,
That's a different tradition.
Well, I don't know if it was, but I'm like someone who comes back from a land and tells the native
or a sea. A captain would come back from a sea.
Yes,
traditional.
But I do embellish, so I'm not sure. I always have trouble with numbers, but I think it was something like 350. Mm-hmm. I know I said 400 before. Anyway, there were students.
Was it one class?
Yes, it was a class. This woman, Professor Wertheim, Suzanne Wertheim at UCLA, she teaches a class on. Performing, like the academia. By the way, I realize what a crock academia is. Like, they were breaking down what it is to perform, like how the tone, how the pacing changes of a performer, just all this academia about being a performer. Like,
and who were the students? They were
young. Oh my God, I'm
freshman,
50.
Right? It has to be a freshman class. Why? If there's 350 people in the class.
Why is that? Why can't there be 350 seniors? Because if you're going seniors, to UC, well, because if is you're there going, is there attrition that bad as you go on?
No, because if you're going to UCLA, you're paying a lot of money, and you're not paying money to spend your senior year in classes of 350 or 400 people. That's insane.
Are you telling me that when you're a freshman, you don't pay as much money?
You do, but you have to take a lot of gut courses.
It's all
where
the general ed.
Yeah, like you have to take this class and this class, and everybody has to take it, so they fill them up with lots and lots of students. But as you progress, so I would assume these kids were all 18 years old.
Yeah, they were very young. I can't believe how young college students are. Like, I'm 51. I used to think of college students as my peers up until a couple of years ago for some bizarre reason.
Well,
I know
you love to talk about peers. I mean, we talked about that a lot last week as well.
But anyway, I read a short story because, you know, and it
was it your short story or somebody else's short story?
That would be funny if I was called into UCLA.
This is
UCLA.
Called the gift of the Magi.
But it went very well. I read a story, what we talked about last week on our podcast. I read a story about my current battle with food. And I got very confessional. And there was a Q&A afterward. And one of the students said, "How can you tell that story without blushing or being embarrassed?" And I said to her, "I don't care anymore," I said. "I don't care anymore, I think."
And she was probably thinking, clearly.
Oh.
What? I'm sorry. But I don't care anymore that I just say whatever is going on in my life. Like, I told her this, too. I said, "You know what? I don't care what people..."
You're the untethered id.
The untethered id. Yes. But anyway, it went...
So it wasn't really a short story in the traditional sense of a short story. It was an essay about yourself, correct?
Yeah. Right. And you know, as you know, I've been writing journals since I'm in my 20s.
Oh, it's like watching the movie Seven.
Yes.
I remembers the opening credits of that movie.
My apartment is covered in stream of consciousness journals. That are just, and I leave my journals all over the place too. That's a horrible thing that I've left them on buses. I've left them in coffee shops. My most intimate.
That is a fear of mine. That is one of my worst fears.
I do it because I always carry my books with me too.
I feel like this is you sending a message to the world. It's like, this is who I am, bus. This is who I am, museum bench.
You know what? That was one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was validation. I'm always in this quest for validation. It's just insane that, I know what you mean. Like, I leave the journal and it's supposedly I don't want to leave it and I'm horrified about it. But maybe what's really going on is like, my God, I want these strangers to know what the hell is going on with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did the same thing myself when I was in San Francisco with both of you a few weeks ago. My journal with my most intimate sketches, journal
well,
entries.
Well, that's a whole other thing. You draw
intimate
a lot of pictures
sketches.
Of your penis. Yeah.
Well, I can't help myself.
Yeah. What are you, Canadian all of a sudden? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was up in Michigan. Whoa.
Anyway, it's pretty mortifying when I think about what people are reading about me in San Francisco. About my
give us an example.
Let's see.
When you say sketches, I'm assuming that you're talking about drawings, but you're not.
No, I am talking about like ridiculous drawings.
Oh, I thought you were talking
self-portraits.
I thought you were talking about comedy sketches.
Me too.
Oh, there's some sketches in there too, but I'm more mortified about the self-portraits.
Why is the? Do you come off as too narcissistic?
No, you know I always paint. You know,
he always makes the nose too big.
I make the nose too big.
You give yourself like superhero muscles,
huge muscles, capes.
You know, though, that anyone in San Francisco who finds that is just going to be like, "What the hell is this?" and just toss it aside. I mean,
no, it's probably thrown away immediately.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Don't worry about it. Yeah,
thanks,
Jamie Flam. This is the San Francisco Museum of Art. We'd like to do an exhibit of your work.
Wow.
I found a paper once. Another comic and I found a paper torn out of a journal of a comic that we both know who had been sitting at a table in front of us at a bar at a show and we opened up the paper, and this comic had just written his own name and then covered the rest of the page with hearts, just drawn hearts around.
He was obviously
fucking with you.
No,
he was obviously trying to love himself.
Yes, or something.
Or something. Or he was really in love with himself, which is more disgusting.
Or he was up for a part on Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart.
This was 30 years ago, by the way.
It's a good show.
I should mention that. All right, so Jamie, tell us about your new passion, your new obsession.
My new obsession, well, I discovered this past weekend something called Chat Roulette. And I feel like I'm late to the game in this. Like people
not as late as I am.
I heard about it on Twitter.
Well, Chat Roulette is basically...
I heard about it on Bing.
You go to this website. Nice.
I heard about it on Tumblr.
That's the place you'd hear about it. But anyway, you go to the site and you have your video connected. And basically just another video person somewhere else in the world.
It's a real person. It's not a video person.
Generally, it's a real person.
They exist.
But it's a video of a real person.
Gotcha.
It's a video of a real person. And so basically, you're connecting to someone else in the world, and instantly you have the choice to chat with them and see what's going on, or press next, and it'll immediately take you to someone else. So,
do a lot of people get married through this thing?
I would imagine.
Do they know that you're nexting them?
Yeah, well, immediately it just turns off. And so, like, when I was sitting there, I noticed that, and I think the median age is probably 21, 22. When I was sitting in front of the screen, next. As soon as I got out of the way, my girlfriend and her friends were sitting there. It would be, you know, a group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Douchey, usually guys. And what the crazy thing about Chat Roulette is, like, probably every fifth next that you see is a man's penis, most of the time jerking itself off.
Are you serious?
So next. No, wait.
Holy cow, Margaret. What was that?
Well,
go back.
What's the appeal? Did you enjoy doing it?
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, at one point, you know, there's some guy from Antarctica and
I enjoyed jerking off.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
on Chat Roulette.
The ejaculating is, of course. The ejaculating. But no, you see interesting people and, you know, talk to people across the world. That's the most interesting part of it.
A lot of people say that about Russian roulette too. Like, what is? Do you really enjoy this? What's the point?
Well, I'll tell you.
It's like,
it
I never felt
feel
more
alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, at first, it sounded horrific, and now you're saying that it is kind of cool because you're connecting with all these people
well,
around
the
world.
The concept is really cool.
It sounds like a lot of rejection.
It's a lot of rejection, but it's like some of the worst people too.
But it's one of those things that it sounds like a really good idea, just like the internet.
No, it doesn't.
And then it becomes
like communism,
a tool for pornography, just like the internet.
Oh, and that reminds me. I mean, at one point there was this woman. She starts chatting, and then starts stripping, and then starts masturbating. And I'm pretty sure that was a video person. Going back to the video people.
You mean somebody was just showing that instead of them?
I don't know what the technology is, but clearly, like, and they made it look as if she was actually chatting.
Uh-huh.
But I was sitting there with four other people, and, like, this woman takes her clothes off completely naked.
Her answers were completely unrelated to the stuff that you guys were saying.
No, well, that's the weird part is, like,
what do you mean her answers? Doesn't sound like she's answering anything.
She said she
anything.
Was chatting, right?
Yeah.
She's like, chatting. She's masturbating.
She's
chatting.
Chat-
when you masturbate?
It's
depends
possible.
If there's anybody around. It depends if there's somebody there.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Hey, I see you masturbating there, Ted. Yeah.
She's a hot one today, huh?
What are you fantasizing about, Bob?
Oh, you know, this and that.
Pretty much how it went.
What was she chatting about?
I think it was the basics, you know, where are you from?
While masturbating.
Before, I think they want to get you in. Be like, oh, this is a cute, attractive young lady. And then once she's in, but we did notice, you know, because we asked her a question, you know, mid stroke.
We got you.
Yeah, okay, you got
we
me.
We got you, Jamie.
Yeah. But she like reached over and apparently typed something, but I'm pretty sure it was fake.
Because she sounds like a weird version of the guy from Diving Bell and Butterfly who could blink a novel.
No idea.
Sure. In what sense? Sure. Explain the analogy.
Well, here was a guy who was paralyzed.
Yes.
And he blinked the novel. This woman can masturbate and type. At the very least, she
that
can
sounds,
get a job.
That sounds way easier than blinking a novel.
That's true.
Because she's just writing, like, where are you from?
That's true.
Not like it was a dark and stormy night, you know?
Point well taken.
Imagine that guy gets the letter S. How long that takes to blink out the letter S? That's a day's work to go, it was a dark and stormy night.
I know. But we're talking about chat roulette. And by the way, I don't know about you guys, but my feeling about chat roulette is kind of like my feeling about the internet, that it just shows what a sad race of people we are, that we're so freaking bored that we do stuff like that. And I'm not attacking you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not attacking you for doing it because I was curious about it. But
did you really have nothing else you could have been doing?
That's my life.
I'm sorry, you were saying.
No, I mean, it just like the way we distract ourselves mm-hmm. is just endless, particularly with the internet. And I actually stopped myself now. I knew that if I went on chat roulette, I would probably waste a bunch of time. Mm-hmm. And especially, I didn't know there was sex involved.
Well, that you've heard the thing about how every once in a while you come across a guy jerking off.
It's more than every once in a while, I will say.
How often would you
20%
say?
Chance?
I'd say 20% chance.
So the odds are actually better for that than they are in Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, there are no rules? Like, there's nudity allowed? Who would be governing it? Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I know. It's just amazing to me that the internet really still is the Wild West in a way. Like, mm-hmm. anything goes. You want to masturbate on the internet and type. You want to just talk about a bus, or you want to just...
Have you been on bus roulette?
You can't normally talk about a bus.
It's just people talking about buses. I was on the 41 crosstown the other day, and I found this journal filled with all kinds of crazy scrollings.
Well, and the cool part is there's only a 10% chance of people masturbating on that.
Bus roulette. There's only a type of, but you know, you make a joke about that, but that's the thing about the internet. There was one time where I started Googling about aspartame, which is the horrific sweetener in Diet Coke. I drink a lot of it, and someone said it's a cancer producing agent, and I wound up I do this in my routine, in my stand up routine, because
thank you for sharing part of that, because I don't ever see you do stand up, so go on.
Well, yeah, but I just want people to know that I'm a stand up and that I can be followed on Twitter at Eddie Pepitone. And when I do a routine about being in an aspartame chat room. I mean, the internet, you can get so specific with this crap. Like bus roulette, I'm sure, might be out there. Like, I'm on a Pioneer bus with my wife. We've been living on this bus ever since the economy tanked.
We should check the URL and see if we can get a hold of the rights to that, because we could start a whole new thing.
Bus roulette.
URL, you lost me.
Oh, I forgot.
What'd you forget?
You're 51.
That's right.
So I also wanted to share some exciting news with you guys, which is...
Oh, what's that, Sean?
Well, I have a television program I worked on. It's coming out this week.
That's right.
It's a show for Spike TV.
Nice.
It starts March 2nd, Tuesday. I think it's at 10 or 10:30 p.m. I don't remember. I don't know the exact
time. Tuesday, March what?
Second. So it'll already have been on.
By the time people have their mitts on this podcast.
But it's every Tuesday night for the next couple of months, because we shot 10 episodes of it.
And what's the name of that?
It's called Players. It's about two brothers who own a sports bar together, played by Matt Walsh and Ian Roberts from the Upright Citizens.
Very funny guys.
Yeah, hilarious. And I mostly wrote for the show and... Mm-hmm. Did a lot of producing stuff and was actually in a couple of episodes. I played a character named Louie, who actually in one episode, his only line is, "You were right, Bruce. I cried myself to sleep again last night."
That was your line?
That was my line.
It's a good line.
So
Now let me ask you this.
Ask me whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a big week for you then. Your show that you wrote on for mm-hmm. a couple of months is coming out.
I wrote on it for more than a couple of months.
Three months.
No, it was like 4.5 months, I think. So.
Yeah. Are you excited?
I am excited. I just want to see what's going to happen. I really had a great time working on it and had a lot
of
fun.
It's interesting. Whenever you film something, you know, can you tell whether or not it's going to be funny? Because I've been on sets, not to brag that I've been on sets.
No big deal.
You know, and you you sometimes you think it's funny in the moment, then you look at it on TV and it's like, not that funny. You know, what do you think? Mm-hmm.
I have watched not necessarily final cuts, but at least producer's cuts and sometimes network cuts of almost every episode. I think it's funny. I think it's a funny show. I think people should watch it because if they like funny things, they'll like this.
Is Spike TV saying still something about men? Like,
yeah,
what is
like? I don't know what the tagline is, but I know if you go to their website, it says, you know, the premier online destination for men, which is clearly a falsehood if we know anything about the internet, you know?
I mean, it seems like Chat Roulette is the premier online destination for men.
All right. Well, I think this is a good time to take a little bit of a break. So why don't we do that? And we will be back in a moment with some
Amber,
more.
Can you just saute a vegetable? I brought some eggplant. Can you saute it for me?
This Thursday on NBC, at 8 p.m., an all-new episode of Just Kickin' It, when Delonte kicks it a little too much.
Delonte, are you kicking it naked?
Yes, ma'am. But that's how Delonte likes to kick it.
Then, on a new episode of Practice What You Preach, Pastor Greg goes on a diet.
If burning calories were as easy as talking about the burning bush, I might be able to get rid of these love handles. Back to the treadmill.
Oh, Pastor.
Then, on a very special episode of Cloris and Evelyn, Cloris and Evelyn learn the hard way that shoplifting doesn't pay.
Cloris, you didn't have to steal that brooch from me, Cloris.
But Evelyn, I knew you wanted that brooch so bad, Evelyn.
I did want the brooch, but I want your friendship more.
Let's never let a brooch get in the way of our friendship again.
That's a deal. Unless it's a really nice brooch, Cloris.
Evelyn!
Cloris!
Evelyn!
Then at 10 p.m., it's the season finale of CSI Down Under.
Mate, there's another crime to solve.
No worries. I'll just bring up the computer screen that exists in the ear.
That's crazy. You're just tapping the ear.
I know, it's crazy. I just tap the ear and shit comes up in the ear.
All this and more, Thursday on NBC.
We're back. You're listening to The Long Shot. And as I mentioned before we took that little break, I do have a TV show coming out next week. And one way I measure the loyalty of my friends is if they are going to watch the show. So it was very shocking to me, Amber, when you absolutely refused during the break. You said, there's no way I'm going to watch your show.
No, it's not. It's not personal. It's
well, it feels very personal.
I would take it as personal.
No, no, it is. I would love to watch your show.
But
it's really more a sad statement on the way I'm living my life right now. I own a TV. I physically have a TV in my apartment.
So far, I'm even more hurt.
But it's not plugged in, nor is there any cable or...
It's not plugged in. Now, it seems to me that's rectifiable.
Right. Well, they always say in tech support, they go unplug and then plug in. You know, make sure everything is plugged in.
But so. I don't have cable, and Spike is a cable
Sure.
thing.
Well, everything's cable now, right?
Right, right.
Analog is gone.
Right. So what are you doing living in the 21st century without cable TV?
I don't have the internet.
You're a hippie.
I'm a hippie, but I'm also just... lazy, I guess, is the way to describe it. Or, like, things sound really hard to do, so I just don't do them.
I don't know about
cable. Cable is very hard to do. You just got to call a number.
But who do I call? And what plan do I pick? Like, I feel like no matter what, I'm going to pick the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Talk to your friends.
It's a whole other issue.
We're here for you. We'll talk to you after the show.
why don't you do cable roulette?
No, but seriously, I have a weird thing where I feel like I don't know how to do anything.
Now this is interesting because Sean introduced this as like, you know, how come you're not going to watch me? And it immediately descends into that you don't know how to do anything. Anything. You're like Rain Woman.
It just occurred to me, by the way, that we spent a lot of time last week talking about credit card roulette. So maybe that should be.
Oh, we did. So yeah. Roulette every week will
every
be.
Every week. Every roulette. Week.
Step right up, folks, and take a spin on the roulette wheel of life. No, but Amber, what do you mean you can't?
But here's what's interesting about this is that you're saying, I don't want to do it wrong. I don't want to make a mistake.
Right.
But isn't that like emblematic of just life in general, not moving forward? Like, you got to start making, you only learn by making mistakes.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
But also, it's like a piggyback thing. I'm also a little bit broke, completely broke.
See, so that to me is a more valid excuse.
Right. But it's a nice.
Of course.
But the two work very nicely together.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, well, I can't afford it this month and I don't know how to do it.
Right.
And that happens every month.
Right. The second half of that sentence, though, does not make sense to me. I don't know how to do it. Like, you just
do it.
Yeah.
I actually understand.
Of course you do, Jamie.
As I belabor.
Devil's advocate. Here we go.
No, hear me out, guys. No, just hear me out here. You guys know I belabor the point that I'm living with my grandma right now. Mm-hmm. Times are
grandma,
tough.
Yeah.
Grandmother, excuse me. No, but for the first 2 weeks I was there, I would go to friends' houses or internet cafes to get my internet because I just did not know how to deal with figuring out her password. I didn't know who to call. I didn't know if I called the router company. Do I call
by the way,
AT&T?
I hear you on that one.
I completely understand. What? That's a totally different thing.
How is that totally different?
Because who do you call?
He's already set up.
But who do you call to get the password? It's like a nightmare. You know, I don't bring my computer home to my parents' house anymore because I go, how do I get on your wireless? And they both go, I don't know. I'm shrugging my shoulders and raising my arms.
I have a neighbor. Now, this happens in a lot of apartment complexes out here, and I guess in New York, too, in any big city. I have a neighbor now who knocked on my door, and she's very nice, and she's like, could I, you know, I'm having problems now with AT&T, and I was just wondering, could I pay you like 10 a month to get on your internet connection?
You do not want to get involved in that kind of relationship.
You know what? That was my first thought because I was watching a true crime show and all these murders. No, all these murders happen.
They start with one little thing and then they start, work their way into
their
life.
Yes, they start with the handyman usually. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't a handyman.
Or a drifter.
Or a drifter. Now, she's, I don't know how handy she is or how much she drifts, but she lives across the way. And I said, I don't know my password. And now she's pissed at me. She like shuns me in the laundry room. Like I feel attitude from her because I cannot get my password.
Do other people laugh at you when she shuns you in the laundry room?
Yeah.
Like, I think shunning is something that has to happen in front of other people.
Isn't it does?
That, I think so.
I don't think so. I think
thank you, does. Amber. Thank you. What do you think, Jamie?
I think you can be shunned alone.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
I think it's more painful in a group.
I think it's an active thing that somebody has to do in front of other people to make you feel bad about yourself.
So you're talking about my parents. But anyway, God rest my mother's soul. But anyway, I just want to say that this password thing is wild. It's like, how do you get your password?
And when I tried, I was actually home and I tried to ask my parents, like, even what cable company do you have that installed your cable? And they were like, what are you talking about? This guy came. They had no idea what I was even talking about.
We don't do anything ourselves anymore. It's like some guy comes. And by the way, according to the true crime shows, that could be the guy who kills the whole
family. Well, that's another reason why I shouldn't get cable or the
internet. Your own life is at stake.
Because you think you'll be the victim of a crime?
Absolutely.
But if you call a legitimate cable company,
right,
they have to have somebody that they know that
but
works for
you
them.
You don't want to get involved with the rogue cable company.
The roving cable companies are a nightmare.
Rogue.
Because, I'm talking about roving.
No, I'm saying a rogue cable company, a cable company that's not
you
licensed.
You can be rogue and not roving,
that's
but you
right.
can't be roving and not rogue.
But anyway.
It's like being a parallelogram.
Anyway.
But someday I'll get those things, and I will come here, and I'll feel so good about myself.
And by that time, my show will be off the air.
Well, could I come over and watch it or something?
We'll see. No.
By the way, I wanted to say this. Now, you said you're broke, and you don't have cable. One thing that I realized, no matter how broke I have been or was, I always had cable TV. Like to me, getting TV was even more important than getting the basic groceries. Like, I was like, oh my God, because I'm a huge sports fan and I had to watch the Yankees, Rangers, and Giants, respectively.
And yet you always managed to get groceries as well.
I would
so
really...
So it was not even more, it was equally important as
groceries. Yeah, yeah. So I had to have my TV because I think the nature of television is that we get addicted to certain things. And I just am such a sports fan that I had to watch every game the Yankees played.
What is that about? Why do people watch sports? What do you think that is that leads people to watch sports like that so fanatically?
Well, this is what I think it is for real.
I'm glad you start with for real, and then
well, I try to keep.
Then we'll get to the fake answers later.
I try to keep things real. You know what I mean?
Just keeping it real.
I try to keep it real. Is that for me? And I think most people who are big fanatical sports fans, they got introduced to sports when they were a kid. Mm-hmm. And I became a fan of Mickey Mantle when I was about 6 years old. I became a fan of the New York Giants. I'll never forget watching the television with my dad. The Giants were playing the Cleveland Browns in the snow. And I loved my daddy so much at that point. It was like a real bonding. It was like a real bonding moment. You know, it's like, you know, not to sound like one of those baseball novels, which I hate, like, oh, baseball is woven in the fabric of our life. But it is, you know.
There are a lot of those baseball novels?
Too many. George Will.
Not a novelist, by the way.
George Will? Yeah. Is he columnist?
Communist.
He's a communist. Yeah. No, but so I think it's this whole emotional connection to the game. And by the way, I was way too connected to sports. I remember when my team would lose, and it still happens, I get very depressed.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like. Common. I know it's common, but what I'm saying is you're a grown man with a mind of your own, and you're still getting depressed because the Yankees, well, they actually won the World Series this year, which is
I am
exciting.
So happy that they won the World
Series. But when the Giants lost the last six games of the season or whatever it was very depressing every week to
but
know.
But I could tell you this.
But logically, we should be able to go, who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter. These are men that will never know anything about either of us who are playing for money, and we don't even live where they're playing for anymore, and yet somehow we're going, come on, come on, come on. Oh, no. It makes absolutely no sense. So what's that about?
Well, I do want to say this, that I have gotten better. Like when I was a kid, and this is really true, when I was a kid, when I was about, I think I was around 10, 11, 12 years old, and my team would lose, I was inconsolable. And now when my team loses, I get over it so much quicker. But when I was a kid, I'll never forget when the Rangers, the hockey, when the Rangers lost the seventh game of a series to the Chicago Blackhawks, best of seven, they lost game seven. I took my radio. Back then, you could only listen to the games on transistor radio, and I just smashed it. And my father came down. I was in the basement. I smashed it, and I was just in. My father was like, "What the hell?" Like, he was like, "What are you doing? Uh-huh. You just smashed your radio. Get out of the house!" Like,
you didn't realize at that time that you could fill the emptiness with Ruffles and onion dip.
So I've gotten better. I do not smash things anymore. I'll be upset, you know, but I'll be like, ah.
I had a friend whose father, we would all watch the Giant games when I was a kid. We'd all watch the games together. A couple other guys' fathers and a couple of us. And, you know, we'd all be watching. And this kid's father would go crazy if the Giants weren't playing well. He'd start kicking pillows around the room, and he'd eventually go, I got to take a walk, and he'd leave and not come back for like an hour and a half.
Well, there
and
was
even then, I knew that was completely irrational behavior, and it made me fear for this boy's safety when he went home. If his father's behaving that way in front of other people, you can only imagine, you know.
Well, I'm a Laker fan myself. And, you know, as a Yankee fan, a Laker fan, I think the good times are – you know, more frequent than most teams. But for me, the most frustrating part has been my girlfriend, for no good reason, is a Laker hater. So that just
for
adds...
no good reason.
Well, I think well, there I might be most a good reason.
But she's not like totally into the NBA, where she should have this hatred. But there's that added weight to
it's
every
just a
loss.
Way for her to connect with you.
No, to connect against me.
Yeah, but you know how that goes. Sometimes people, you know, they look for a way to get into it with somebody, you know?
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So she's just reaching out.
Yeah.
And I have no reason to be complaining right now. All right, I'm going to leave now and go hang out with my girlfriend.
Here's my theory is that people love sports because life is an abysmal morass of confusion, chaos, and despair. And sports.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir.
And sports, but sports, you always have an outcome. Life, you don't have an outcome
right.
until you're dead, right? If you love a team and you root for them, then you know either I feel good now or I don't feel good. But when you're in the midst of life, who knows what your circumstances are from moment to moment, right? So if my team wins, I can feel good about that. But if I just missed getting in an accident driving down the street,
yeah.
I still have to pay my bills when I get home. There's no clock expiring and me going, I won, I lost.
Yeah, you know? But here's the sad truth. Because
I thought that was the sad truth.
That is the sad truth. But here's the sad truth about when
my team
wins,
mm-hmm.
The joy of it is short-lived. The Yankees have won the World Series a bunch of times. The Giants have won 3 Super Bowls. My life.
You're preaching to the choir, my friend.
My life.
We're on the same page with those things.
Yeah, my life has not gotten appreciably better.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, I would be like, I would watch so many hours of games, then they would win, and after about a day or two, it would just be back to, okay,
right.
What's...
But isn't it that fleeting moment that we all watch for? That like Jamie, last night, Kobe mm-hmm. Bryant hit a 3-pointer at the buzzer to beat, who were they playing?
The Memphis Grizzlies.
The Memphis Grizzlies, which is a decent team this year.
Yeah, they're gonna
and it was
make
a
playoffs.
Good game. That moment was worth a lot, correct?
Oh my God. Last night, joyous.
Mm-hmm.
Partying in the streets.
Well,
me alone.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
On Ventura Boulevard.
That's, you know, that's a little extreme.
That would be unbelievable if every game the Lakers won, there were riots in L.A. Like, because
you know,
people's
lives...
it would
be lives... believable in a way, because this town is so weird that I could see that actually happening, of people being like, yes, let's burn a car!
Well, the craziest thing I ever did was, and I shouldn't have done this, I was slightly buzzed after an employee Christmas party, and I called the Laker line after their win. I hadn't even watched the game, and talked to Matt Money Smith on Laker line after the game, and didn't even talk about the game.
What is like, that? What I don't even know what that is.
You know,
sports talk?
After the game, you know, there's...
A radio show.
It's a radio show.
Oh, okay.
And just told him how great he was. Shouldn't have been driving, let alone just not even talking about... The Lakers, but
I'm sure he loved hearing how great he was. Did you mention to him that you just came from an employee Christmas party and had not seen the game?
I had.
You did or you had?
I had mentioned that, and I did mention it at the same exact time.
But you got on the air. Excuse me. You got on the air, and you were just like fawning over this guy.
Just gushing.
You were gushing over this guy. It was like you were talking to a famous actor of some sort, like some great actor.
Now, you are a big Ranger fan.
Yes, hockey, yes.
Hockey, yeah, not Texas Rangers.
Right. Even though I like what the Texas Rangers do, which
George Bush.
Right. But the Texas Rangers also are, I believe they are, they're a military organization, aren't they? Or a firefighter organization?
No, they were, yeah, they were back in the 1800s and maybe 1900s, maybe even still. They must be still because, what's his name? Who was the guy who played Texas Ranger? Walker Texas Ranger was on TV. So they still exist, but for a while they were very important in the... Anyway, you love the New York Rangers.
Right.
Do you remember where you were in 1994 when they won the Stanley Cup?
Oh, I sure do. Oh, my God. When the Rangers won the Stanley Cup and they hadn't won the Stanley Cup for 50 years.
52
years. And the opposing... The Islanders, who were their big rival, the fans would chant 1940, which was the last time they won it.
Mm-hmm. So 54 years.
54 years.
If you do the math correctly.
Yeah. Right, right. And I was so happy when the Rangers won the cup. Mm-hmm. I was living in Hell's Kitchen, New York, about 49th Street and 9th Avenue. And I remember I was smoking a lot of pot back then, you know, and I would smoke pot and watch.
I feel like
games.
You have a lot of stories that include that.
Back then, yeah. I would smoke pot, watch games, and oh my God, when they won, I went nuts. I rollerbladed up and down. I was rollerblading back then. I didn't see that coming. I rollerbladed up and down 9th Avenue, and I had made a Stanley Cup out of aluminum foil. And I was with a couple of friends, and we just had the best times. And another thing,
and people were like, why is that guy carrying an ashtray with him when he's rollerblading?
But it was one thing I remember. It was an extremely hot night, like hot and muggy. And I had smoked marijuana copiously, and I almost fainted. I almost had one of my patented panic attacks and almost fainted, but I had a great time. It was so much fun.
I was in that same area that night when the Rangers won. Yes, I went with my friend Amy. Our friend Amy went to see Angels in America that night.
Oh, that's right. We talked about
it. Yeah, and so everybody's coming out of Madison Square Garden screaming like, fucking Rangers, going crazy. And Amy and I walked down from 42nd and Broadway down towards Madison Square Garden. And as people were walking by, giving us high fives and everything, I was going, have you seen Angels in America? It's a gay cabaret for the new millennium.
By the way, what
I thought that was hilarious.
That's a brilliant comedic thing. And what you're touching on there is that people have their priorities wrong, because we have stadiums full of people so passionately involved in a game. And Angels in America, which was this incredible trilogy of plays dealing with...
We only saw one part of it.
I know you did. And good for you for seeing just one part of it, because they were long, those plays, but a trilogy of plays about the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
But nobody's passionate about that except a very small handful of theater people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it did very well for quite a long time.
Because I get it. Listen, I don't need you to defend Angels in America, but I think... you know, like, I get angry when I hear that colleges are so crazy about their team, like the Duke basketball team and the North Carolina Tar Heels, but they have no passion about theater or just other people living their lives. And I'm not sure how that can be corrected. Maybe we can organize the homeless or AIDS victims into a team and call them something.
The homeless versus the AIDS.
The homeless versus the AIDS, and have people, you know, announce it like, all right, here comes Bob Johnson. He is about to beg for a quarter, Bob, and this is going to be some game here.
By the way, I think you are actively working to change how much people care about theater by going and reading a short story on the campus of UCLA. You know, there's a lot of people who were big Bruins fans who walked away from that thing today going, first of all, are there 350 people in this class or 400? I'm not sure. And second of all, I think we should be more involved in the theater.
You know, I've been a lifelong sports fan, but there's just such an element of stupidity in it. You know, it just, I feel like it's like what Karl Marx talked about. It's an opiate. It's an opiate of the masses, you know.
Well,
it's a total opiate. It's a way to completely get your mind off of, as you put it, the abysmal morass of life.
What do you think he would say about television?
Same ballpark, you know.
So you think he would just start, like if Karl Marx were here, he would just be like, yes, also an opiate of the masses. Yes,
now, that's also an opiate. What was the media?
Many opiates these days.
He saw everything as an opiate, and I think he was right on the money, but I mean...
Opiates, also an opiate.
Chat roulette. Although chat roulette, not an opiate. That's good stuff. Me and Frederick Engel jerk off on it.
But... yeah, do you agree with that? Are you a sports... I know women, they can be sports fans, but...
You know, I... recently,
Amber is a big basketball fan.
You are?
Yeah, I like the Lakers. Ooh. I haven't been watching it though, because I don't have a TV.
All right.
So I feel
you
really
could listen to it on your transistor radio.
I know. Maybe I should start doing that. I feel very, very like, because I haven't been watching it on TV, it hasn't been happening. You know, like when somebody starts talking about a game, I'm like, what? Like, there was no game. I wasn't a part of it. So it didn't. I'm like a child playing peekaboo. Like,
yeah.
I think that if my face is covered up, no one can see me.
Well, you know, the Lakers won the championship this last year.
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
It sounds like she was taken hostage by the Colombian rebels. the way you're talking to her, Jamie. By the way, terrific job getting that woman out from that hostage situation in Colombia.
What are you talking about?
Thank you. No, I'm just saying that I was making a joke that Amber, that Jamie was saying that, oh, by the way, the Lakers won the championship. Like Amber has been in a hostage situation. She knows the Lakers won, I hope, right?
Yes.
I should have been paying closer attention because...
what happened to you?
I didn't understand any of that. I didn't understand anything you just said or the way you repeated it back.
Yeah. So if you're having trouble, can you imagine the people who are listening to this now?
Oh, my God. They must be drawing diagrams on the wall in crayon going, so wait, they were in Colombia?
Hold it. I need balsamic vinegar. Margaret, what are you doing, Harry? I'm listening to the Long Shot podcast.
You're playing both Margaret and Harry in this sketch.
Yes,
I want to point
out. Yes, I'm playing
both
Margaret and Harry.
All right. Well, this seems like a good time to take a break. So let's go have some more eggplant. Deliciously sauteed.
Put a
You're
log
welcome.
On
f- You're
put
welcome.
Put a log on the fire. And by the way, the roof is leaking here. I don't know if people can hear the rain coming.
I put a towel in the bucket so it wouldn't tap the entire time.
Oh, that's good. That's good because the rain is starting to come in here heavily. Okay.
Back in a bit.
And now, another episode of Charlie's Last Meal.
Boy, Warden, that was a really good meal. And
I'm glad you enjoyed it. What kind of meat was it?
That was loin of pork. Terrific.
I would have said pork loin.
Well, we have a difference of opinion there, but I do want to say that even though this prison is out in the middle of nowhere, you guys make an impeccable bread pudding.
Well, I think the prison being out in the middle of nowhere is obviously always going to be true. Nobody ever wants to have a prison close to their house. I mean, how would you like it if your apartment complex fronted on a federal penitentiary?
Well, for me right now, that would be quite convenient.
Because you'd be living in an apartment complex.
Correct. Anyway, Warden, you make me laugh. I just want to say, you're not going to electrocute me now, are you?
Well, of course. That's what this has all been leading up to.
Can I ask for one, you know, just, will you do me this favor? Can I please...
Is this dessert?
No. Can I please...
More dessert? You already had two bread puddings.
And impeccable, by the way. Mm-hmm. Can I please watch the news? 10 minutes. Let me watch the news for 10 minutes.
I really should say no, but I feel terrible for you. But you should be aware that if you do watch the news, the only thing on every channel right now is people waiting for your execution.
And that's...
Talking heads speculating on whether it's the right thing to do, which most of them seem to feel it is.
I hate talking heads. But I gotta tell
you... Not the band.
No, not the band. I enjoy them. Stop Making Sense to me was perhaps revolutionary, but this is what I want. Mm. Is I was an actor at one point, and so to watch myself on TV would kind of be a validation of what I've done. So I'd love to watch myself on the news because all I ever had were like bit parts on the Sarah Silverman Show.
And we're back on the Long Shot podcast. If you are just tuning in, rewind, because you can do that with podcasts. Go back to the beginning of the podcast and listen to everything we've talked about up till now. We're here with Amber Kenny, Eddie Pepitone, Jamie Flam, myself. My name is Sean Connery. You would have known that if you'd listened from the beginning. And we've been talking a little bit about television, a little bit about sports. And we just wanted to talk about one more thing, which is that... Eddie, you have some strong feelings about stuff they show too much on television.
Yeah, well, why does every show have to be about cops, doctors, and lawyers? I cannot take it anymore. Why doesn't television get into anthropologists, you know, people who study meteors, people who make fake...
Meteorologists, they're called.
Meteorologists? No,
those
that's
are weathermen.
Weathermen.
Yes.
That's weathermen. You're wrong there. I'm talking about the study of meteors. No, why? How come every time...
Do you think meteorologists feel ridiculous that they don't study meteors?
But every weather
person... They just have to explain it over and over again. I'm a meteorologist. Oh, so you study
and
meteors?
What are
no,
people
actually the
who
weather.
Study meteors
I know.
Called? It's very confusing.
I don't know.
Meteorites.
They're called weathermen.
Very, very good. But why every time we turn on the TV, it's got to be about cops, doctors, and lawyers? I am so sick of them.
Well, what about Charles in Charge? There's a young fellow that's taking care of his...
That
kids?
Charles. Tropical hit show, Charles and Charles.
What year is that from?
I think Eddie's talking more about drama than about sitcoms. It's much easier to do something a little bit out of the norm, right? But dramas, it seems like, okay, so I went through the television listings this week.
Okay, what do you
which
got?
Was a bad week to pick because, as you know, the Olympics are on this week. So NBC was sort of out of the running for the entire week. And I think you're leaving out what has become a major category this last couple of years, which is paranormal dramas.
Oh, is that right?
There are lots of there's, let's see, we had The Mentalist, a show called Supernatural, The Vampire Diaries, The Ghost Whisperer, and The Medium.
Don't get me started on whispering and vampires. I don't know when whispering...
I would love to see a show called The Vampire Whisperer.
The Vampire, yeah. I don't know when whispering, you know, because I've always been loud, so I've never been partial to whispering.
Oh
but
my
when
God,
did whispering,
true.
The ghost whisperer, the dog whisperer, you know, this whisperer, that whisperer. But
the thing that was most noticeable to me was that CBS...
Yeah.
During the average week, from according to what I counted, has at least 11 cop dramas on.
11?
Yes. In just a regular week.
Are they all like CSI?
Well, there's like 3 CSIs, 2 NCIS.
Oh my.
Are those different? I've never even...
Well, one takes place in one city and one takes place in another city. So there's different weather patterns.
Sure.
Well, did you know did you know that the CEO... of CBS is Daryl Gates, the former LAPD police commissioner.
Is it really?
No, it's not, but it seems
there
like
was also
it is.
An article in today's Hollywood Reporter which said that on tap next year of all the pilots that are out there, 5 lawyer shows, 2 medical dramas, and 22 cop dramas.
Unbelievable.
Those are the pilots that they're shooting.
Let me tell you,
year.
This is what enrages me. Enrages me is that Hollywood, the people who produce this stuff, are idiots for doing the same thing over and over.
Completely disagree.
Tell me why.
They're scared to take a risk.
Well, they're scared to take a risk. They're also making money on these shows. Mm-hmm. NCIS 2, or whatever it's called, NCIS LA, was only put into play because NCIS was doing so well. CSI has become 3 shows. They're making another, what was it? I wrote it down somewhere. There's another show. Oh, is it Cold Case or no? It's a show about what's the one about the Criminal Minds. They're making another.
By the way, how
Criminal
morbid?
Minds.
How morbid are all these shows?
But here's what I was gonna say. This brings it back to sports. Why do people watch? Everybody watches these shows. They make money. Why do people watch them? Because they're picking a team and their team always wins. In Criminal Minds, the good guys always win. In House always figures out what's wrong with the
person.
And
these people on TV don't disappoint them. Whereas in real life...
Oh, it's a morass of abysmal whatever I said before.
It's a potpourri of disappointment with people in real life. I swear to God, there are people in my life who I think their purpose in life was to disappoint me, but you throw on Law & Order and those 2 guys do not disappoint.
Oh, there's like 11 versions of Law & Order at this
horrific.
Point.
Horrific. And I've been on a couple of them. I've been on about 4 of those episodes. Very small parts.
I've been in court a number of times.
I'm headed toward court for a speeding ticket, but that's a whole nother story.
But I really think that's what it is that everybody wants Horatio Gates to solve the crime. Is that his name? Horatio? What's the guy's name on CSI?
Oh,
played by the red-haired guy who takes his glasses off all the time.
Oh, Crusoe.
It's Horatio something or other. Everybody
oh, really?
Wants Horatio.
Horatio Sands.
Not Horatio Sands. Oh, yes. Not Horatio Hornblower, the other Horatio.
There's only 3.
There's only three Horatios.
Algiers?
Algiers. That name, by the way.
Flower for Algiers.
That name went out of style. I don't know why.
Well, Horatio. That's what the names are all now is names that went out of style. And that's the style is to bring back names that nobody uses anymore, you know?
But these shows
you name
are
your kid Gordon and everybody
by the
jumps
way,
for joy.
These shows are so morbid, like CSI and Law & Order. Someone's always been murdered and murdered senselessly. And that's what people...
Again, that makes total sense to me. Because
why?
Because life is so filled with those kind of things, but... As long as you can go, it happened to that fictional character, not me. That
and they
video
figured
person.
It out. Why?
And it's all a neat little package.
But now here's the thing, too, is I think a lot of the writers, because I think I know a couple of people who have written on these shows. A lot of these shows, these murders are based on real murders that these the writers have researched and, you know, made into.
I know some writers too on different.
I know some writers, and you have a show coming up again Tuesdays, every Tuesday on Spike called Players.
You're good.
Yeah. Every Tuesday,
10 or 10:30. We're not sure about that.
Don't know. Check your local listings for time and channel.
But yeah, television, it is about comfort. Let's face it. It is about being comforted.
By the way, one of the pilots coming out, Hawaii 5-0.
No. Mm.
That pisses me off too. That they just do retreads and you say,
or at least use a different state. Like, let's do Alaska 49.
Yeah, I was a kid watching Hawaii 5-0. That was, you know, way back when, you know, and I used to love when they would say, book 'em, Dano. That was...
Right, no, absolutely. That was a terrific, cultural phenomenon.
You know, yeah. When you can come up with a catchphrase, you kind of have it made, you know?
Yeah, like up your nose with a rubber hose.
Get her done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's whole other...
Do you guys remember a show called Matt Houston?
No.
Sort of?
It was like what a detective, right?
It was a detective, and no one I know has ever heard of it. And it was on like at 5 o'clock in 1985, and no one I know has ever heard of it. So
every day at 5 o'clock in 1985.
Five o'clock is a bad time slot.
Not the best detective show time slot.
Most people are driving.
Hey, listen. At least we didn't get the 3 a.m. slot. What was so great about Matt Houston?
I don't think anything was great about it at all. It's just a show I remember.
Ironically, he was based in Dallas.
I can see the writers just pacing. But why are we calling him Houston if he's based in Dallas? Well, it's better than Corpus Christi, Al. And they just go on and on with Texas locations.
And then somebody also made the joke back then about how it was actually Houston. Like, you know, that came up in the writer's room as well.
If there was a New Yorker there, yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something about where I come from. This guy's name would be Matt Houston. I was born and raised on Allen Street and Houston Street.
TV, you know, I go back and forth with TV. I love watching sports, but these shows piss me off. And I also don't understand why everyone has to look the same on television, because I'm trying to get work out here as an actor and I'm kind of a character guy. But all these leads, all the good parts.
Have you seen this show called Underbelly? It's an Australian show. They just started showing on Channel 101. Do you have the Dish Network? Or
no.
Whatever I have. I don't even know what cable company I have.
No, what is Underbelly?
For help. I have no idea. Underbelly is an Australian show about crime. It's a crime show, of course. Uh-huh. But these guys, it's great because these guys look like real people. Like, they just look like human
beings. I like watching British shows because I love watching BBC shows.
Well, you love the accent. Do a little of your British accent.
Hello, everybody. My name is Melvin, and I will be with you all day today. Hey! Are you the person who's going? You know, there's my British accent. Top of the morning to you. Top of the morning.
You do a couple of.
Mister, me and Miss, you don't know what's going on between you and Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones.
It's pretty good. Check this out, guys. Hi-li.
What
did you say? Hi-li?
Kinda.
That's a Basque word.
I find myself just saying that Basque? In the car by myself.
Basque. Why aren't there more Basque shows on the air? There are not.
I think that would be great. There's a terrorist group called ETA that would make a very good.
Yeah, I hate that it's all cops and lawyers. I hate lawyers and cops.
Well, also there's a doctors. built-in drama to cops and lawyers and doctors, because it's all about life and death or justice and going away to jail forever. I mean,
you know,
here's another thing I would say is let's not confuse television with stuff that's supposed to actually be interesting to people, right? Television is just a way to sell things. It's a sales technique.
Yeah. Well, I thought television was... We disagree on the fundamentals of television.
And I'm not saying I like any of those shows, and I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see something different. I'm just saying...
But you're saying television is just to sell things? I think it should be to educate, to entertain in a brilliant fashion.
You have such high ideals that are going to constantly be disappointed by the real world. And by the way, the real world is in season 22 at this point.
So. The real world is in season billion. We have been around for a billion years now, the world. That would be funny if the first television shows were just the very first cells that were after the Big Bang. Like, the first
Real
show was the Big
Amoeba?
Bang.
Real World Amoeba?
Real World Amoeba. And the very first show is the Big Bang, and it's just, you know, there's nothingness.
Just particles floating.
Just nothingness. Gases.
They accidentally hit each other at one point. That's like the drama, the conflict.
That show would be boycotted by Focus on the Family. All right. Well, this seems like a good place to wrap things up. So we'll be back in a moment with a little bit more to say. My job is temporary. I'm here for the law shot. My job is temporary. I'm here for the law shot. My job is temporary. I'm here for the law shot. My job is temporary. I'm here for the law shot. My job is temporary. I'm here for the law shot. My job is temporary. I'm here for the law shot. Okay, we're back, and it's time for parting shots. So let's see what we got. Jamie, what's your parting shot?
So my parting shot, so excited for next week, 10 or 10:30, Players on Spike TV. Can't wait for that.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's going to be the best.
First episode is called Grand Reopening.
Oh.
Think about that for a second.
Okay, just thought about it. The other important point, I just want to let everyone know if you're playing this chat roulette, that if you see a penis flaccid or erect, I promise you it is not mine. That's it. Definitely not my penis.
Okay. We will now go over to Amber. Amber, tell us what your parting shot is.
My parting shot is a shout out to my dear Lakers. I'm sorry that I'm not following you and I have no idea what's going on. I hope you're doing well.
You could be following them on Twitter, by the way.
I also don't have the internet. And I'm not on Twitter.
You don't have a phone?
I don't have a phone that does anything that besides make calls.
Really? You can't get incoming calls on your phone?
I can get incoming calls, I can make calls, and I can text. There's also a calendar feature and an alarm clock. But I don't have the intraweb. I don't have one of those magic phones. And I don't understand them. They confuse me.
All right. So you want the Lakers, all the Lakers who are listening to this podcast,
just to know that my thoughts and prayers are with them.
Okay. Eddie, parting shot. Go. Go. Just do it. Just go.
I just want to say to the real cops and the real doctors and the real lawyers out there that if I need your help, please don't hold it against me that I hate your TV shows. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you my parting shot, which is that I actually wrote a script, a pilot script for a cop show called Alaska 4-9. And our catchphrase, I'd like to do that for you now. It was not book 'em, Dano. This was the catchphrase, and it was from an old prospector who was also a cop called Polar Bear. His name was Polar Bear Pappy. And he was an old prospector who worked as a cop up in the North Country.
The Yukon.
And this is what he would say. This is interesting that you bring up the Yukon because it kind of steps on my joke. He would say, "Put him on ice, Yukon Jack." That was his.
Now that's a show I would watch because, you know, I mean, first of all, a prospector who is also a cop, terrific amalgam of occupations.
Amalgam.
Terrific blend of occupations.
Okay.
Terrific ambrosia. Of occupation.
A potpourri.
Marshmallow salad.
A combo.
The long shot.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you this week. And as usual, this has been the long shot. So
it's been the long shot.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that life is funny from a distance, but up close, it's a little tragic.
To download past and future episodes of the Long Shot Podcast, join us online at thelongshotpodcast.com.